And good morning. There are two particular factors that I studied this morning. I went onto the website called Wikipedia. Sometimes I like it and sometimes I don't. Sometimes the information is just so technical, I got to look at it and go, what are they even talking about? And, you know, we're here to learn. You know, here's one thing that I wonder, though. By the way, this program is called Health Essentials. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3. My name is Roy Morgan. Okay. I'm always curious when it comes to understanding information or learning information or gaining or harvesting something that you can in turn convert into a useful, you know, application. Maybe that's the way I should say this. Application. How do we put this to use? How do you make it work? I think there's a phrase where the rubber meets the road. I know what they mean. They mean, okay, how do we make all this real and put it into practice? And so what I was reading about this morning was if somebody feels horrible, I'm just going to make up a scenario right here, okay? What if all of a sudden your body just stops working right? You used to feel good. You had energy. You went to bed at night, you fell asleep easily, you woke up refreshed mentally, you just cannot wait to get to the day because you have ambition and drive and motivation, your mood is good, you tend to be really, really resilient, which means whatever stuff happens, it's maybe unpleasant, you can just deal with it, it doesn't wreck you, maybe you can kind of shed it like water on a duck's back, feathers. I meant to say feathers on their back. You know, they're going downhill, so when a drop of rain falls, it just rolls right off, right? Isn't that true? They're impenetrable, but they're waterproof. But that's what you want. You want your body to be in such good working order that it can serve you well. And what do you want to do? You want to use your body in doing the very thing you love, which maybe for some of you might be serving God. Not out of, you know, force, but because you freely want to. Does that make sense? So what I'm after is, how do we get there? Are you the type of person that likes to wait till your check engine light comes on? I've seen those video shorts on YouTube where the mechanic takes the valve covers off the engine of a relatively new car, but the car may have 50,000 miles on it or 40,000 miles. And it looks like somebody put black tar. You know, you think about black tar or pitch that you might use to hold Noah's Ark together or a tar pit. That's because they never changed the oil. And you're thinking, what were they thinking? Chances are they weren't thinking. They didn't make it a priority to do regular maintenance on their vehicle. So obviously, it's going to be a complete engine fail. That's so unnecessary. Well, in your mind, do you wait till your body's completely broken down before you say, you know, maybe now I should do something to take care of it? Well, you're going to have a bunch of hurdles and hoops to jump through to get back to good again. If that's even possible in some people. Yes, that is the reality of this world that we're living in. Some people can ignore their symptoms. They ignore taking care of their body. They do everything they can to wreck it. And they think that magically there's going to be some type of a pill. They might even think there's a natural herbal remedy that's going to offer them promise. Once their body is almost past the point of no return, well, it don't work that way. And so let me float an idea, because I want you to have some takeaways today, all right? Something that you can think about and consider that you can put into practice. I don't want this to ever be a program where I just talk about things that don't apply to anybody. No, I'd kind of like to hit the nail on the head and talk about some things that actually have universal application and universal value. So I was reading that people that have chronically increased activity of an inflammatory cytokine, it's called C-reactive protein, or CRP for short, anytime that you want, you can go and have a blood test done and you can measure your C-reactive protein levels. Where is it made? It's made in the liver. But I guess what I want to float your direction as far as an idea, there is a Goldilocks just right amount where, that you want that C-reactor protein to be. You want it to be low, as in below the number one. Because when that number starts to go above the number one, you have increasing problems. You may not realize you have problems, but the C-reactive protein, when it goes above the number two, you got problems. It's just a question of, do you have the wherewithal to take a step back and just look at it for what it is and say, I wonder if I'm dealing with some chronic inflammation. Is this a marker that tells me if my body's breaking down? Do I have inflammation in my arteries? And the point that I'm getting to is, if C-reactive protein levels are above the number two, that usually means you got plaque forming in your arteries. If you want to call it arteriosclerosis, or if you want to call it atherosclerosis, I won't argue. But I think everybody knows what diabetes is. If I wanted to find a way to get a person into poor health, diabetes and arteriosclerosis, or hardening of the arteries, is a pretty good way to do that. So what you want is, you want your C-reactive protein levels to be below one. And so when I started looking on Wikipedia, let me just give you just a brief rundown. What would be the diseases or the conditions where you would see elevated levels of C-reactive protein? Or let me just jump into the other one. The other one's called tumor necrosis factor alpha, or TNF. I know you haven't heard those before, but, you know, in the cutting-edge research, you just keep reading about these, and you keep thinking, what can I do to help myself? So, if a person had C-reactive protein levels elevated, what you start thinking about is, well, maybe this is an early warning sign or a predictor that these people have, that I've got diabetes, or maybe my heart's not right. Well, also, the other ones are autoimmune diseases. Have you ever heard of somebody having rheumatoid arthritis or maybe lupus? There's one called Hashimoto's. There's Graves' disease. Have you ever seen a person that had psoriasis on their elbows or their legs or their knees? Well, of course you have. What if you're out in public and you see someone that has, you know, beautiful brown skin, but part of it, there's no pigment at all? Maybe kind of an albino look on that patch of skin. That's called vitiligo. That's an autoimmune disease right there. But you also find this with things, with bowel diseases like Crohn's disease. And, there's like a bunch of inflammatory bowel diseases where the hallmark is you got a whole bunch of inflammation. And that's why I'm talking about C-reactive protein. Well, anyway, you're probably going to get to the point where you're going to say, hey, Dr. Morgan, can you just cut to the chase? What can I do to help myself? Well, that's where I want to jump in right here. And what I want you to think about is, obviously, in modern times, there seems to be a huge emphasis on taking megadoses of steroids. Everybody needs to be on aspirin and Tylenol. You need to have all these different drugs called biologicals or biologics. I mean, obviously, that's one angle on it. But what if there is another way that you can deal with the body? And maybe there's something that God himself has designed through creation that might benefit us. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at a very interesting little critter that we see just about every day. And maybe we can learn something from the honeybee. You know, bees aren't dumb. No, they're highly intelligent. Do you ever see a honeybee going to somebody fills up their diesel truck with diesel fuel? Do you ever see honeybees congregate around a puddle of diesel fuel on the ground because it's so valuable? No, of course not. I'm being ridiculous. Do honeybees love to go to where they make Roundup or glyphosate? No. You want to kill them. That'd be a good way to do it. Okay, so I came across this article right here. And this is for your consideration. And what they're doing is they're talking about a substance called propolis. And you're probably curious, what is propolis? Well, propolis, you know, we get to thank the honeybees for that because they're the ones that collect it. It's a bee product. Bees are the ones that put this stuff together. And God gave them great intelligence so they know exactly how to go out there in the forest or the field or the pastures, you know, in the creek bottoms. They know how to find this stuff. So propolis is the glue that bees utilize to hold their nest or their hives or their honeycomb together. Now, this is wordy right here. I'm sorry, but I looked it up. There is a substance that is found in propolis. I'm going to call it a phenol, but technically its name is caffeic acid phenyl ethyl ester. When I say ester, I don't mean it's a chemical ester, not the ester in the Bible. I always like a couple verses from Esther, but one of them is, "If I perish, I perish." That's a pretty good one right there. Was it Mordecai that said, "How do you know that you've been called for such a time as this?" Man, that's powerful. That's something to consider in your own life, isn't it? So when they've done studies on human beings, they've actually looked at this caffeic acid phenyl ethyl ester, and they've shown that the stuff inhibits cancer. So I'm talking about propolis here. Propolis is bee glue. That's maybe what I should refer to this from here on out instead of using the other one. So they're showing that it inhibits cancer. One of the articles that I chose not to look at in detail, I mean, I started to scan it, but I thought, what are they going to do with that information? But it was all about how rapidly does a person's skin age. A woman this week showed me a picture of her high school reunion. And there were, I don't really remember, but let's just say there's 7 rows or 6 rows of classmates for like a group picture. Well, the first 2, they looked pretty good. I think it was like the 50th high school reunion. But man, when you started going row 3, row 4, row 5, row 6, those were the guys in wheelchairs, walkers. They looked super, super old. They did not look like they were in their 60s. And so my point being, you know, under certain circumstances, the human body can age so fast or prematurely. And, you know, the skin's an organ. But if you look at someone's skin, it looks like it's about 1 million years older than what it should be. You're thinking, man, they've had a rough lifestyle. What have they been doing? But in this one article, they were showing that propolis, I'm telling you, it was fabulous at helping protect the skin from excessive aging. I mean, and maybe I'm wrong here, but do you need your skin to be in good working order? Do you need it to be a very most excellent barrier against the outside world? Yes, you do. So here's my first takeaway right here. In these 14 studies, they showed that these phenols that come from propolis, man, do they do a good job of inhibiting cancer cells from growing. I don't know if that topic's important to you, but you tell me, would you rather do maintenance on the engine of your new car and keep it in good working order, or would you like to replace the engine for, say, $15,000 to $20,000? I really don't know which ones would cost $20,000, but could you imagine if you had like a brand spanking new Cummins turbo diesel in your Dodge Ram pickup and it blows up when it's at 40,000 miles and the warranty is no good? My goodness, you are going to have a bill. How many zeros are they going to put after the number 3? I'm guessing 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll start with that. I don't want to pay $30,000. And my point is this. You've got to create the circumstances to help your body stay in good working order. Now, you realize I'm talking about propolis here. I'm not talking about a person going to an oncologist saying, you know what, I'm 30 years old, but I'd like to prevent cancer, so can I start taking a daily dose of chemotherapy every day? No, because it would make you super sick. What would happen if they did a trial on perfectly healthy 30-year-olds, and they said, what we're going to do is we're going to do a long-term study for the next 12 years, and we're going to give everybody chemotherapy just to see what happens. Well, folks, you know what's going to happen. You're going to see a lot of disease form, early death. It's going to be a disaster. All I'm suggesting is if you look at these studies on the use of propolis, it can play a role at preventing cancer from even forming in the first place. Now, am I making a promise or a guarantee to you? No. We're talking about the honeybee making glue, and you go into the beehive and getting it. Or if you want to go buy a supplement called propolis off the internet in a gel cap or a capsule, that's all I'm suggesting. Just consider it. But they're showing that the other thing besides inhibiting cancer, that it slows down the aging process. I'd just assume that you have an engine on your car that has 200,000 miles, but at 3,000 miles you pull the dipstick out and the oil looks just as clean and just as wholesome. I don't know why people call me on my cell phone when I'm on the radio, but they do. I should have it turned off. Y'all probably didn't hear that, did you? But it's so much easier to keep your body in good working order instead of waiting until it breaks down. But maybe the main point that I'm trying to make, this is your takeaway. I want you to consider propolis because it decreases C-reactive protein and tumor necrosis factor alpha. That's called inflammation. And so, if you look at people that have diabetes, that's inflammation. Somebody's trying to call. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's see what they have to say. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Roy.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going pretty good. I've got a wife that is just having a bad time with second from the big toe, and she has been told by a nurse to soak it in Epsom salt.
Well, what's the problem that she's having?
Well, it's got a little old insect bite that has two little black eyes on it.
Is it on the bottom of the toe?
No, it's on the side.
Is it a plantar's wart?
Well, it could be.
Because the plantar warts, those have those little black eyes.
Oh, well.
Does it just rub her the wrong way? Is that the bottom line?
Well, it is keeping her from enjoying walking.
Well, that's a big deal. How long has she had it?
2 weeks, she says. She's listening to this.
Okay. Then you better make sure that you say things that are highly complimentary about her, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. You said that to keep yourself honest, I know. All right, so does she have any idea, was it actually an insect bite or is it something else?
She doesn't know.
Well, let me give you two or three ideas if it was a plantar's wart. What she could do every night when she goes to bed, she could take a Band-Aid, and on the sterile gauze portion of the Band-Aid, she could drop, 10 drops of cod liver oil on it. And then she could apply that directly to the area of irritation when she goes to bed. That way she doesn't have to worry about it rubbing her the wrong way. And when she gets up in the morning, she could take it off. That's one thing you could try right there. Sometimes just a drop of tea tree oil might be all we have to do. The other thing you could do is you could take a fresh ginger root and you can kind of grate it with a fine cheese grater and just put a little bit of a ginger poultice. I think a Band-Aid would probably hold it. We're not talking about anything that's real big. It's not bigger than a dime, is it?
No.
There's none.
She's listening. I'm going to let her talk to you.
Dr. Morgan, it's really a small area, and it's between the large toe and the one next to it.
Oh, between the first and the second?
Right.
Yeah.
I think I probably wore, if it's not an insect, maybe just some shoes that caused it, maybe.
Well, if that's the case, I mean, obviously, just walk around the house barefoot and see if it starts to clear up. But you could easily go to bed at night and put a Band-Aid with cod liver oil covering it, couldn't you?
That sounds good.
Well, that's a pretty easy remedy. Try that. If I had a salve, the salve is usually made with an olive oil base, so it looks kind of green, but it's called plantain golden seal. A plantain looks like a banana, but this plantain looks like a green leaf. But if you get the salve called plantain golden seal, it should be the right one. But you could try that. I think that's like that's a pretty good cure-all for skin conditions around the toes.
Okay.
Your husband has nothing better to do than to go shopping for plantain golden seal salve today. Am I right about that?
No, I've got to go cut up a tree that just nearly fell on my power line.
Oh, my word. Well, you better have your sons go out there and help you to make sure nobody has an injury.
He's already been out there. And I tell you what, if it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't even known the thing was out there, but he went out there and tied a rope on the main power line to the house and pulled it to the side so that did fall before Encore got there, that it wouldn't hit that power line.
Well, I don't want anybody having an accident or being electrocuted.
Me either.
Well, thanks for your phone call. I hope it goes super well today.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Y'all have a good day, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, there is a phone line once again open. It's going to be, if you want to call me on the radio, this is the number to call. Are you ready? 903-589-8507. That would be the correct number. If you call that number, I can get you right in and you can ask me whatever question you want. But that's 903-589-8507. Good morning. Thanks for your call.
Good morning. How are you doing, Mr. Morgan?
Oh, I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, I have a little issue. I have a raised place underneath my bottom lip that I've had for a couple of months, and I've been to the doctor, and they gave me salve, and that didn't work. And so then I went to another doctor, and they gave me some, not sure how to pronounce it. I think it's, oh, my goodness.
Listen, I struggle with some of these names of the drugs, so don't feel bad at all.
Okay. It's VALACYCLOVER.
Okay, well, that's something that they think it's a viral infection. That's why they're using that.
Yeah, because I used to take L-lysine when I'd get fever blisters.
Are you still taking L-lysine?
No, because I've just started this Friday.
Well, I don't have the information right in front of me, but so I don't know if this is correct or not. Because you have a swelling under the lower lip doesn't mean it's a herpes viral infection. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But it could be.
Yes.
It very, very easily. So this salve that they're giving you a topical substance that's gonna increase the production of an antiviral compound in your body. This is their way of getting rid of a chronic virus.
Okay.
So
see, I went the first time, and I put the salve on me, and it didn't do anything. So then I went to the other doctor, and he's given me these pills, which I just started Friday. So because the salve wasn't doing anything, and it just kind of looks like I'm getting another bottom lip now. So it's kind of spreading.
Well, ma'am, from what I can tell, women all over the world are wanting to go get lip injections to make their lips larger. Isn't that what you want?
Yeah, well, not this way.
Not that way. Okay. Okay, so let's just kind of tackle this and pick it apart, okay?
Okay.
All right. The number one predictor of all time of a chronic viral load that never goes away is consumption of sugar. So if you're drinking sweet tea every day, I would probably tell you not to do that. If you're eating candy, I'd tell you to stop. But just lay off the sugar for at least 2 weeks and see if somehow or another your body can start to rise to the occasion.
Well, see, I've been on a fasting diet. I've lost 29 pounds. I've cut out my sugar a lot. And
oh, my goodness, so, you're amazing.
And so that's why I really was surprised that this showed up, because I have really slowed up on my sugar intake. I haven't had a soda in over a year, which I used to drink quite a lot. And
I've read articles about you and your soda consumption. I'm just joking.
Yes, absolutely.
But that's in the past. We're going to forget about that.
Right.
All right. Did the doctor by chance do any blood work just to look at your immune system?
Yes, he did.
Do you remember anything being out of range when you looked at it?
The potassium, he said, was high. It was 5.4.
Well, is that because you're taking a blood pressure medication?
No, I don't take anything.
Okay. You could have been dehydrated. That could have been the cause of it.
Because I hadn't had any, food or water when I took the blood test Friday morning.
No, that could have been just because of a little bit of dehydration. If they did a urinalysis, that'd be helpful. Well, when they look at the white blood cells, usually the ones that you're looking at is either neutrophils or monocytes or lymphocytes. And if those are high or low, that can give you a clue if this is actually a viral infection.
The only other thing was an anion gap.
Yeah, that's a mathematical equation. It has to do with mineral levels. And so if that's low, that means you're really deficient in minerals.
It says it's 4.
Well, that means you're low. Sorry.
Real low.
Well, no, it's not the end of the world, but I mean, that's useful information because your body requires minerals. A lot of times with a viral load, I'm looking at, do you know what fatty acids are? Like if you ate butter, those are fatty acids, or cod liver oil. It used to be that, 100 years ago, if women had chronic, cold sores or herpes infections, that the mom and dad would say, let's start taking cod liver oil every day. I bet you it tasted horrible by the time they got it in a spoon to their mouth. But today they can actually keep it pretty pure because they can preserve it with things like lemon and extract of rosemary. I know you've heard of rosemary before, but yeah. It keeps the fat from turning rancid. But sometimes I just have people rub fish oil on their lips. I know that sounds weird, but the lips and the skin, 70% of whatever you apply to them is going to just go right in there. So if you're using any lipstick or lip balm, I'd say stop doing that. The first thought that I had was either lemon balm or Melissa extract. I'm going to go with Melissa extract. Have you heard of that before?
No, uh-uh. I've heard of the lemon, but not the...
Well, there is an herb called Melissa officinalis, which means it's the real deal. Of course, okay. if you hear the word Melissa or the name Melissa, you think, that's like a perfect name for a girl, isn't it? Melissa.
Really?
Yeah. And so, but Melissa is actually a plant, and it has very strong antiviral properties to it. And so that's one thing that you could consider is either getting a lip balm or a salve, and you could rub Melissa on it.
Okay.
Or lemon balm.
Okay.
Just to see if it's enough to give your immune system a bit of a bolstering or a help.
Yeah. Well, see, I've actually been doing, you know, just eating lunch and not eating after 6 o'clock. And I've been doing this for almost, well, several months. And that was part of the reason I was losing my weight.
Oh, my goodness, 29 pounds. That's like nothing to, that's a big deal.
Yes. And so I'm thinking maybe because of that, maybe is that has something to do with because I'm not eating enough? Or?
Well, I know. I'm kind of living in my fantasy world right now. I'm thinking that I could just reach through the microphone and see your labs so I could tell what's going on, but I can't. So we're just split together otherwise. So I was hoping they would do something like a vitamin D level. But vitamin D is so critical for your immune system to overcome viral loads.
Well, I have my labs reports here, but I can't find. They're saying on the LDA cholesterol is high.
LDL.
Yeah.
Is high.
LDL.
Yeah, you need to listen to your husband. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, sorry.
I just woke up.
Yeah.
Wait, who and just woke up?
Yeah. And my cholesterol is 210.
Well, I don't know that's anything to be concerned about as far as directly. But, I mean, just say it this way. I mean, what I don't want is I don't want your body to be a good place where chronic viruses live and they cause problems or inflammation. I mean, in a nutshell, when you have like a swelling of your lower lip and you've had a history of, I mean, have you had fever blisters and cold sores?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, what we want is, maybe I'm switching gears just slightly, but what we want is we want your immune system maybe to respond just a little bit more robustly. So I usually think of things like thymus extract and spleen extract. I don't know if echinacea would take care of this or not, but usually echinacea is what you want if you don't want to have another flare-up.
Yeah, that's what I usually take.
And L-lysine, it has a long history of helping the immune system, you know, respond to viruses better. Let me give you, like, two examples. A lot of times when people eat nuts, and that could be peanuts, almonds. Is there another nut out there? I forgot. Pecan. But anyway, the point I'm getting.
All those ones that I eat.
But when you have a viral infection on your lip, nuts are the last thing that you want to put in your body, maybe right behind sugar, because what they do is they create an amino acid imbalance where you become low in lysine, so your body can never quite get over the viral infection. So if a person told me their lip is swollen, I'd say, don't eat nuts.
Yeah, and that's, I've ate a lot of those, so.
Now, when you eat nuts, is that called Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? Is that the way you eat your nuts?
Now, a year ago, yes. Not lately, yes.
Oh, man, you're such a good girl. Well, I would have you consider not eating nuts for a couple weeks to see if the swelling begins to go away, because you're just helping your body respond better.
Yes.
But even what I was talking about a while ago about that bee glue called propolis, propolis historically is what you want to use if there's a viral load that won't go away. And they do make all sorts of lip balms that contain propolis. Have you ever tasted propolis before?
No, huh?
Yeah, you ain't going to forget it if you taste it. I've tasted it many times.
In other words, I would know if I had.
Yes, I'm thinking it would be a long-term memory if you put some fresh propolis in your mouth.
Okay.
No, that's just me trying to be funny, but that's really true, because when I've taken it before, I'm going, oh my goodness, I know why people won't take it. It just tastes gross. But, you know, it's in the category of these things are good for me. But, you know, like what I was talking about earlier, I don't want to wait for a person's body to totally break down. I want to take whatever clues they have and say, what is the best option that we have to start to help the immune system work better? And really, what I'm telling you is the truth. If your immune system works just a little bit better, that is totally in your best interest, not just for now, but for the rest of your life. So if God has 28 more years of good, productive service and love and great things that you can do for the next 28 years, I just assume you do them instead of your body being broken down.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm sure there's a lot of other clues on your blood test. Unfortunately, I can't read through the microphone.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that's what I would consider. So don't eat nuts. Just eat meat and vegetables. Start eating berries. Berries contain all these unique flavonoids that are going to help your immune system.
And I love all those. So
does that mean if your husband brings you a bowl of strawberries and blueberries, you will eat them?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, I love his plan.
Yes.
He
won't eat the blueberries, but I will.
Do you take cod liver oil every day?
No.
That's one thing that I would switch if I could change one thing right now.
Oh, okay.
If you start looking at the long-term studies on people that take cod liver oil, you're just going to be like flabbergasted, and you're going to say, how come nobody, I mean besides me, has ever told me, you know, why I should take cod liver oil? There was a study where they took cigarette smokers and they gave them cod liver oil. Oh, my goodness. It almost made cigarette smoke look like it was safe. It's not. Smoking cigarettes is not good. I had a person this week tell me that smoking pipes is like, it's no big deal. So I said, okay, I wonder if that's true. So what I did was I went home. Guess what the first article that popped up? People that smoke a pipe, they have 10 times the laryngeal cancer. I guess you'd say that's your voice box compared to people that don't smoke a pipe. And I thought, well, that's enough information for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's poison.
Gosh. Well, okay. I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I'll let somebody get on there, and I appreciate
it all. Oh, and I enjoyed the phone call. Thanks for your call today. Have a great day, ma'am.
Thank you. You too.
I think I was looking at the 2025 Surgeon General. I am so sorry, but I don't know who the Surgeon General is of the United States right now. I need to look that up. I just don't know. I have known in the past. But, you know, and sometimes they're most memorable. I mean, I remember C. Everett Koop, okay, and what he said about cigarettes. But the point that I was going to get to is this right here. The Surgeon General's report was publishing medical details about the occurrence of cancer. And man, it was shocking. And it was only related to people that drank alcohol, okay? That's my only angle on this. So I'm not trying to cover every aspect of people that get cancer. But it was saying that people that drink less than one alcoholic beverage a week. That's less than one a week. So I don't want to like over interpret what the study was trying to say, but it said people that, and I'm just going to make up a number. If I'm wrong about this, I'm probably not real far off, but just consider it. So let's just say all you do is you have one alcoholic beverage every 10 days. I'm really making the number 10 up, but that's what the study said. It said less than one a week. So let me just make up a number for simplicity. Let's just say all you do is drink one alcoholic beverage every 10 days. Well, you know what the risk is, the relative risk of developing cancer? Well, the risk of developing cancer is 11.6% increased. And so they interpret that as if you drink one alcoholic beverage a week, that means 11.6 people out of 100 are going to develop a cancer because of the alcohol. And, folks, do you really believe that alcohol is safe and non-toxic? Anyway, just consider that. All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open. Maybe you have a question or you have something that's come up and you need a little bit of assistance. Obviously, the only way that I'm really able to assist you is if I can angle toward what is going to be safe and good and wholesome that actually helps the body work better. The number is 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hello there, Mr. Boy.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic. I woke up this morning.
That's reason to celebrate.
Yes.
Okay.
You don't know the story behind all that, but
Evidently, there is one.
Everybody asked me. Oh, definitely. Been diabetic all my life. So, I'm happy to wake up every morning.
That's the spirit.
But anyway, I was going to tell the lady that just called with the, she thinks, I don't know, it sounded like a fever blister.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cure for fever blisters.
Oh, man, I can't wait to hear it.
I mean, it makes a big difference. And it's usually good if you catch it early.
But I like your plan. Keep going.
I mean, but alcohol. Dab that sucker with alcohol.
Okay.
And
you're just talking about regular plain Jane rubbing alcohol, right?
Regular. Well, I use 100%. I mean, the regular over-the-counter alcohol.
I thought for a second you might say whiskey.
Nope. Hey, that might work. I don't know.
Well, there is a little bit of alcohol in it.
Well, hey, that might work. But that might.
But if you just dab alcohol on a fever blister, that'll knock it out, right?
Yes, and especially if you catch it soon enough. But if you wait, yes, it will take longer.
Oh, yes.
And plus, but it will, you know, it will take care of it if it's a fever blister.
Well, that's great.
And then plus, eat fermented foods.
What's your favorite one?
Fermented. Sauerkraut.
There you go.
I mean, I'd eat that stuff. I'd drink pickle juice. I'd drink sauerkraut juice after I finish it. I put a little sweetener in it and, man, I drink it up like it's Kool-Aid.
You know, there was
I love it.
There was a study about 10 years ago where they went to the poorest places in South America. So just kind of think Amazon rainforest. But if a woman had a tumor or a cancer growing in her breast, all they would do is take ethyl alcohol with what's called ethyl cellulose, and it's basically like hand sanitizer, about like that. And they would, as long as they could put the needle with that ethyl alcohol directly into the tumor, it had 100% cure rate. Now, isn't that simplicity?
Gosh.
And so it had 100% cure rate, and all it was alcohol they were injecting to the tumor.
Gosh.
Let me think. I mean, alcohol, what's the cost of that? Super cheap, right?
Right.
What would be the cost of a syringe and a needle with rubber gloves? That'd be super cheap, too.
Yes.
So maybe for $5, you could cure breast cancer.
Right.
But I thought that article was so interesting because it's definitely a whole different thought process. And so instead of using massive radiation and massive chemotherapy and lots of surgery, all they did was take a needle and inject the alcohol directly into the tumor, and it had 100% success rate.
Wow.
If I remember, I think it was about 40% of the tumor volume they used alcohol. So they just injected a certain amount, and then they called it good. But it just dissolved it and killed it instantly.
Gosh.
Anyway, I'm just playing on what you said.
Yes. Right, because if I'm ever under, I'm talking stress.
What is stress?
Hey, I don't have stress at this time. Everything's going good.
But that's the way that life is. You may turn around and your refrigerator may go out tomorrow. I'm not trying to jinx you anyway.
Right, but that's not stress to me.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're making a good choice not to let that wreck your life.
No. I'm too mature now to let anything wreck my life.
Well, can I ask you a personal question out of curiosity?
Yes.
Okay, is the refrigerator going out on you, is that going to be like a major stressful ordeal to you?
Nothing anymore is major.
Well, what would be the circumstances that you would think would be like the most major stressor to you?
A death in my family, losing my son, losing my
would be the hardest.
That would be extreme stress.
Yes, ma'am.
But that's, once again, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. I lost people, my friends.
That's where you have, that's where you have your greatest value in relationships.
Right.
That's good.
And that'd probably bring on a fever blister.
Yep, probably would. Well, I do appreciate you so much calling and sharing that.
Okay, I just had to share that with you.
That's great. I can't wait to hear how it turns out.
Alcohol.
Okay, good deal.
And fermented foods.
And fermented foods. Alrighty. Good job. Thanks for your suggestion.
Thank you very much.
All right, have a great day. Bye-bye. All right, there's a phone line open, 903-589-8507. You can call in and I can push the button right away. Here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, I had just recently gotten a positive Cologuard test. Can you explain what that is?
Well, I think they're looking for either, I don't really know, is it blood or antibodies? They're looking for the presence of inflammation, I'm sure.
I don't know. That's why I asked. I don't know anything about that test, and I've tried to ask people at the doctor's office.
Did your doctor recommend it to you?
Yes. He ordered it.
Okay. Did you say you asked them and they didn't explain it?
They haven't yet. That's why I called you.
Okay, how does Cologuard... Yeah, sorry about that. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
What are some of the possibilities?
Well, and what I was going to do is I was going to look up real quick. Let me look up positive Cologuard.
Oh, one other thing. He's now recommending a colonoscopy.
Yeah. If I had my laptop, this would be a million times easier. I'm going to do it differently. Keep talking. How does Cologuard work?
They took a stool sample and they...
Says right here. It works by analyzing a stool sample for two things, altered DNA. And so when you hear the term altered DNA, the first thought that would come to my mind would be like a genetic mutation. Does that make sense?
Could that have anything to do with taking one of those COVID vaccines?
Not exactly. But if you took a COVID vaccine, so if we start looking at the research on COVID vaccines, you have all sorts of complications. One of them might be that people have a higher occurrence of developing blood clots, or they have a cardiomyopathy, or some people call them turbo cancers. And a cancer is something that's left its normal charge or its normal, you know, God designed everything to fulfill a certain purpose. Like honeybees, they fly around from flower to plant to plant to weeds to, you know, blueberry plants. They pollinate. They're not supposed to be killer bees that attack human beings for fun. That's outside of their normal design by God. And so a cancer cell, it's lost its way. It's no longer responding to normal commands. Sometimes cancer cells are described as the infection that never goes away. So go ahead.
Isn't it true that we have some cancer cells in our body at all times and our other cells just keep them in check?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really is. That's true. So if you have a robust immune system, and depending on which study you read, let's just say that every single day that you're alive, you have somewhere between the number 10 and maybe 100 cells. Their DNA becomes damaged. They mutate from normal to abnormal. That would be one definition of a cancer cell. And so if your immune system is robust, it comes along and says, hey, this is not a normal cell. Let's eat it, digest it, and poop it out and get rid of it. So it's not there anymore.
Good deal.
Yeah. Right. But, and so that's one of the reasons why. Long-term studies show that if the immune system, if your immune system is about 10% more robust or more efficient, better at doing its job, the chances are you're going to live a very long time without cancer. And so I don't want to get in the weeds too much, but I've talked to a ton of people that were involved in oncology, and basically they tell me the same story. Nothing's changed, really not much. You know, just in the real world, if I just listen to people that walk into my door and I listen to their stories, there's a lot of people right now that are dying from cancer. A lot. And I would say a lot more than normal. There's an explosion. But that's what I'm reading right now, that Cologuard, it's going to measure to see if you have altered DNA and the presence of blood. And so basically, they're trying to get a clue to find out maybe you got polyps, and so that's why they're going to do the colonoscopy to see if they can see a polyp.
And
so if
my mother had polyps.
Yeah, exactly.
And they found them on a colonoscopy.
You know, the gut is really where the vast majority of your immune system is. So that woman that called just before you, she talked about eating fermented foods like sauerkraut. I do think that I've read so much good information that cabbage and fermented cabbage is really good at keeping your colon in good working order.
Well, like the bubbies that you can get at
There you go. That's a brilliant suggestion.
Pickles and sauerkraut.
Now, I know I'm getting sidetracked just slightly here, so please forgive me. If I wanted to find a way to cause you to have colon cancer, here's how I'd do it. I'd just have you drink alcohol every day. That could probably get you there pretty quick.
You'd have to put a gun to my head.
Ma'am, I am against firearms.
My father was an alcoholic.
Well, you know what?
I have some bad experience with that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know anybody whose life has ever been made better with alcohol. Do you?
No. Not at all.
People don't come into me and say, Dr. Morgan, I got to tell you, the greatest way to enhance a marriage and to make it work well is to introduce a lot of alcohol. It will make it fabulous. It doesn't work that way.
It sure doesn't.
So I think the doctor's going to try to find out if maybe you have a polyp. And then when they go in there, they'll remove it when they do the colonoscopy. And then they'll send it to the laboratory.
That's what they did for my mom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Did your mother have any trouble with colon cancer?
No.
See, what
she lived about 10 more years after that, and the only reason she passed away then is she fell and hit her head and got a slow bleed, and she was 92 at the time.
So she probably would still be alive if she hadn't hit her head, right?
Yes, exactly.
How old would she be right now if she were still living?
She would be about 21 years older than me, so she would be like 104 or 105, something
there,
like that.
There you go. We'd be celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday. Now, bend over. We're going to give you 105 swats.
I'm just joking. Catch her.
You know what? Another reason to go into training with some good shoes. So
yes, well, she worked in her garden just about every day.
What does that tell you? The best activity of all time is gardening.
Right.
You know, and I bet your mom had great common sense, and she was just real clever and smart.
Actually, she was. Very. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you hang out in the dirt. Dirt makes you smart. It really does. I don't know if you remember, but a couple of weeks ago, I read an article about people that are in the dirt. There's a chemical called geosmin. It makes their depression and their anxiety go away. So if you feel depressed, we're going to take you down to the beach, and we're going to cover you in sand, and then until you start laughing and giggling, then we'll dig you out.
Well, I know she encouraged us to go barefooted when we were kids. at least not when we were in school, but, you know, at home and so forth. And none of us ever died of that.
Ma'am, if you go to barefoot church tomorrow morning and sit on the front row, that's fine. I think you should do that to see what happens. I don't think anybody will notice. Do you?
Well, I'll wash my feet before I go.
Good call.
Yes.
So if you want to cause problems with your colon, eat a lot of sugar, eat a lot of processed food, and drink a lot of alcohol and smoke cigarettes.
Don't do any of that, but I love like salads, broccoli, spinach, cucumbers.
Wow.
Zucchini squash.
Man, you're falling right into my plot to make you healthy. This is working out great.
I don't even have a sugar bowl.
Good for you. Well, you want your body to serve you well, and you got stuff you want to accomplish while you're here on Earth, right?
Yes. I visit the folks in the nursing home, and they're older than me.
You have a calling to your life. You're doing good works. That's great. That's the way God designed us to do.
Yes.
I sure do like that a whole lot. I want to be just like you when I grow up.
Well, I also think that the good Lord planned for each one of us things to do, and when he's done with our plan, we're ready to go.
But in the meantime, that's what faith is, right?
Exactly.
Yes, Lord, I know what you've given me to do, and I'll do it.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
How could you go wrong with that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know where the problems
Absolutely.
Come in? When you try to lean on your own understanding, like, that doesn't make sense that I should trust God. I should trust myself. That's a recipe for disaster.
But he did give us a brain to use it.
Well, but you have to choose to use it, right?
Exactly. Or it'll wither up and you won't have much.
Would you believe me if I told you that when they've done recent surveys on people that buy books and read them, you're probably going to be shocked, but there's not a whole lot of that that's going around. People just aren't reading like they used to. They're not studying.
Ooh, there's one book they really have to do.
Oh, really?
Read that one.
What's it called? Give me the name of it.
It's the one that has Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in it, and it starts with B and it ends with E.
Hmm. Can you give me three choices so I could guess multiple choice style?
Well, it's not the dictionary.
I thought maybe you were talking about Britannica, but I know that's off the list now.
Right. It's off.
Man, that leaves
the one that talks about Jesus.
Oh, that'd be called the Bible, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
And you're right. Absolutely. If we spent more, you know, the verse that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, isn't that true?
Wisdom. Absolutely.
And that's what you're talking about. How do we apply good things in a good way, the way that God wants us to? That's wisdom.
That's right.
Well, I hope everything goes well with your tests, but the way that I always look at these things is, what do we do to help improve the person? And this is just the way it is in this world. Everybody has their own unique strengths that God's blessed us with, but we also have weaknesses, don't we?
We do.
Maybe that keeps us from being proud or arrogant, knowing that we're fragile and we need to recognize that we need God, right, for everything.
Absolutely. It didn't work out well for Lucifer when he took the other route.
No, it did not, but I would say that maybe he thought a little bit too highly of himself, didn't he?
That's good. I think so.
Well, I really did enjoy our conversation today, and I hope everything turns out really well, but you're on the right track. Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Morgan.
You betcha. I hope you
really
have a great day. Oh, you're so welcome. Have a great day, ma'am.
God bless you.
Thank you. May the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.